The region growing technique I mentioned earlier under adaptive neighborhood technique could be implemented using an additive tolerance or a multiplicative tolerance. I have shown both examples earlier for different methods of filtering and enhancement. The pixel aggregation technique could have additive tolerance, if you wish, or multiplicative tolerance that is related to contrast. So the method compares the properties of spatially connected neighboring pixels to those of a seed pixel. And the properties used are determined by some homogeneity criteria. The simplest property is the gray level. Now, you could also incorporate other measures, but gray level-based thresholding simply compares each pixel being interrogated for inclusion with the seed. And if the difference is less than some threshold T, you include it. So this is referred to as an additive tolerance level. So FMN is seed plus minus T. But there is a problem here that the additive tolerance method could give you different results depending upon the seed. So here is a basic example with this region, the 3x3 region within the 5x5 object having fairly close values, 124, 125, 126, 127, and 128. Now, if this pixel mark with the 127 here in the position 2, 2 is chosen as a seed, and you set the threshold as 3, then you get the region shown here in black. But with the same threshold, T equal to 3, if you were to start from the pixel marked 128, or with the gray level 128 at 3, 3, then you get this region. Because the difference from this seed to the next on the left-hand side here, 124, or this pixel 124, 124 minus 128, the absolute value is 4, and that is more than the threshold 3, these pixels are not included. Whereas if the reference is that, pixel at 2, 2 with a value 127, all of these 9 pixels are included. So we have this issue here that depending upon which seed is chosen within this obviously uniform region, we get different results. So to overcome this problem, you need to modify the criterion that you use for inclusion. And the final result shown here in part D is obtained using a different method, which I'll describe next. So to overcome that problem, Liang Shen, who did his MSc and PhD with me a few years ago, said, let's change the reference. Let's not use the seed pixel that we started with. If the region is fairly large, the seed pixel could be far away in terms of pixels, and you have grown the region. But when you are here and the seed pixel is there, why compare with that one seed pixel from where you started? Instead, as you accumulate pixels in the region and as you're growing, you modify the reference to be the running mean of the region being grown. So every time you include a pixel in the region, you recompute the mean of that region as it grows. And then use that as the reference rather than that one seed from where you started. So the mean keeps changing, and hopefully as the region grows and stabilizes, the mean will not change much. Otherwise you will have problems with the instability and you may grow beyond any reasonable limit. So FMN, the pixel being questioned for inclusion, is compared against not the seed but the mean. And if that difference is less than a threshold, you include it. And that mean is simply computed as the average of the pixels that are already in that region that is being grown. Then, regardless of which pixel you start within this region, you will end up with the same 3x3 area for this illustration. We also did something else. We said use the current center pixel as the reference instead of the seed. So instead of comparing pixels here when you are growing a region and you have come this far with a seed from where you started far away, you check a pixel here with its own local reference, with a pixel that is already included in the region. Let me show the picture and then it becomes obvious. So suppose you started from the seed there and the region grown so far is this shaded region. So here you would be asking the question, is this pixel close to the value of the seed? And the same for the connected pixels. But when you have come so far and the region has been grown to this extent, shown shaded, the pixels N1, N5 are already included and C is also included. So when you're asking the question for, let's say, N3, the reference is C in this neighborhood. It's not the seed. So when you are checking the pixels in this region, the reference is the center of that region. And that is a part of the region already grown. So you don't compare these 8 pixels with that seed, but the center here. So we call that the current center. So after the pixel C is appended to the region, its neighbors N1 to N8 would be checked using that center. And of course, that pixel must be a member of the region, so you use a current center which is a member of the region already. So that is called the current center. So this is another variation on what is used as the reference. We saw how additive thresholds could be used for region growing. In one of the methods for adaptive neighborhood image processing earlier, I had mentioned the possibility of using a multiplicative tolerance also, and how that could be related to the just noticeable difference and contrast. So let's look at that in a little bit more detail. In multiplicative tolerance, a relative difference is used based upon a multiplicative tolerance level tau, which is applied to the reference value. The reference value in the denominator could be the seed, or it could be the running mean of the region being grown. So if you wish, you could substitute mu rc by seed if you want to use a fixed reference. So the pixel fmn that is being checked for inclusion is compared against the reference, and the ratio is taken to that reference, and that must be less than some tau, which is not in gray level anymore. It's a fraction or a percentage. You could also define it by taking the reference as the sum of the two values that are being compared in the numerator. And the sum could be reduced to an average by dividing by 2, which will then come to the numerator. And that should be less than some threshold. If you want, I can take the 2 out and modify the threshold according to that. So mu rc could stand for the original seed pixel, the current center, or the running mean, as you wish. And these are related to simultaneous contrast. So the notion of contrast is interesting here, and we could relate it to the just noticeable difference and the human visual system. So let's look at some of this in a little bit more detail. Now suppose that the given image G that you are processing is an ideal image F plus noise eta. And then suppose also that F consists of a series of strictly uniform disjoint and non-overlapping regions. Now this doesn't happen in practice, but let's assume so, that F contains Ri, I going 1 to K, each one having its own gray level and non-overlapping. And then let eta include the corresponding parts of noise in those regions, labeled as eta I. Then we can write G equal to F plus eta. F is the union of all the regions Ri, and eta is the union of all the corresponding noise groups eta I. Now, a strictly uniform region, Ri, composed of connected pixels, fmn, with values kappa I, all of them have the same value. So Ri is the collection of those pixels, mn, such that fmn is equal to kappa I. So that is the representation for the regions. And suppose that the noise parts, eta I going 1 to k, are composed of white noise with zero mean and standard deviation sigma I, then G, the observed image, is the union of Ri plus eta I. And then F is the union of Ri, which could be modeled as G minus the noise. If you assume that all the noise regions have the same standard deviation, and they are similar in terms of their statistical characteristics, if each noise region has a sufficient population of pixels, and all of them come from the same process, same underlying statistical process characterized by a certain PDF, we could assume that all of them have the same statistical characteristics. Then G could be written as the union of all the regions Ri plus eta. You can take that eta out of the union operation we had earlier, and F equal to the union of the regions equal to G minus eta. Now, additive tolerance, the question is, what kind of a tolerance should you apply for region growing? Should it be additive or multiplicative and so on? Additive tolerance region growing is well suited for segmentation of this kind of an image. And an additive tolerance level could be determined using sigma, the standard deviation of noise. So you're assuming that all regions contain noise components that are identically distributed and have similar statistics. And that may not be the case in real images, so you have to allow for some other possibilities. In the other case, in 546, let me go back there, here we are treating each region to have noise with separate characteristics. In that case, multiplicative tolerance region growing may be more suitable, with the expectation that global multiplicative tolerance level can be derived for all the regions. So you take some proportion of the local characteristics into account. The multiplicative tolerance level could be made a function of sigma I over kappa I. That is, you are taking the region's value into account, the signal value into account. So that is a noise to signal ratio. So you can turn it around and write it as signal to noise ratio, 10 log 10 kappa square divided by sigma square. Then that is a measure of signal to noise ratio. So if for each region you can determine an appropriate signal to noise ratio, you could use that information, and because that is a ratio, and in multiplicative tolerance region growing we are using a ratio, there is a similarity, and then this method is applicable. If all of these ratios are similar or nearly equal, then you can use one global tolerance level. Otherwise, you could tailor the tolerance level to each region's characteristics. As you're growing the region, you modify the characteristics or the threshold. Now, sometimes it is not possible to identify one suitable threshold, and the result of region growing will be different depending upon the threshold you specify, the tolerance you specify. So Liang Shen, who did his MSc and PhD with me, worked on the problem of detection and segmentation of calcifications in mammograms, and there we wanted to find accurate boundaries of calcifications. So Liang proposed, or Shen et al., that is our paper, proposed using the information contained within a region as well as its relationship with the surrounding background to determine the appropriate tolerance level to grow a region. So this is done by a set of features. that characterize the region being grown and the background. And with different tolerance levels, that could be arranged in a certain manner, or you investigate increasing tolerance levels with a certain step size, one would expect that the values of the feature set at successive tolerance levels around the optimal level would be similar or remain the same. But beyond that, there would be a sudden change in the size and characteristics of the region when the tolerance becomes too loose, and then you have to stop the region growing process. So you must identify where you get the best region by exploring several region growing steps, allowing increasing levels of tolerance. So if there is an object of this size, let's say, if your tolerance is very small, then you will get a small region within the object. And as you increase the tolerance, you will get regions that increase, and at some stage, you are expecting to get a region that matches the actual object with internal variations and texture and whatnot, characterizing that object as allowed by the tolerance specified. If you increase the tolerance further beyond that limit, then the region suddenly could possibly become very large. And at that point, you say, no, let's back off and go back to the previous result we got. But it may not be so simple in practice, so you may have to use a distance measure. Now, suppose the feature set includes M features, size, centroid, and so on. I'll give you a list later. And at each tolerance level K of region growing, you get a region. And for that region, you compute the feature vector VK1, VK2, VKM. So you may compute a number of measures of the region that you got for each tolerance level. The minimum normalized distance, dmin, is then searched for between feature vectors at successive tolerance levels. So you ask the question, which two regions here are the most similar? So take the distance between VK plus 1 M minus VK M square, that is, take the mean square distance over all of these features M, and normalize them, normalize the measures, because some of the features may have different values in different ranges, and then search for that minimum over all of these tolerance levels K that you use. I'll skip the flowchart because that's what I described just now. Then find the region that passes this test, and that is the best region that you could get. Let me just check here, okay. So here we have some examples. Using multiplicative tolerance region growing, that is the test image we start with, part A. In B, we added noise to signal-to-noise ratio equal to 30 dB, and in C, the SNR is 20 dB. Now with the light, you can't see the noise, but there is noise. I'll zoom this and show later on. In D, you have regions grown with fixed tau equal to 0.02 using the image in B. So the two regions of interest are the little triangle inside and the partially occluded circle here, that one. So we are showing two regions in each case, one shown in white, the other shown in black. Now, depending upon the noise level, you have to adjust the threshold if you are using the, the fixed threshold. In E, for the image in C with the higher noise level, we got the correct result for the two regions, the black circle and the white black triangle and the white crescent-shaped object. But for this result in E, because there is more noise in the image C, the tolerance was increased to 0.05. Now the question is, how do you figure that out, 0.02 or 0.05, if you don't know the noise level, or could you possibly relate it? Now, in F, we combine these two images, B and C. We stack them together. So over the entire image, you have two different levels of noise. The upper part has Let me check here. The upper part has 30 dB signal to noise ratio. The lower part has 20 dB signal to noise ratio. So if you apply in part F, the tolerance was fixed at tau equal to 0.02. It works here in the upper part. The two regions are segmented properly, but in the lower part, it doesn't work because the noise level is high. Whereas in part G, with tau equal to 0.05, it works for the lower part, the black triangle and the white crescent-shaped object. But in the upper part, the crescent-shaped object has grown to include the square. So the tolerance is too much, or it is too loose. By using, let me check the last one, H. With the iterative algorithm I mentioned, with adaptive tau, in part H, the last part, the black triangle and the white crescent-shaped object have been detected successfully in both parts. So here, the method I described just now has worked for all four objects with different levels of noise. Okay? So when you have an image with different characteristics of noise, or variable amount of noise, or variable local characteristics, then the same threshold may not give you appropriate results at different locations in the image. You'll have to modify your threshold. If you have some information about such varying characteristics, you could use them to determine appropriate thresholds for each region or each part of the image. In the absence of such information, you have to allow for a variable threshold and explore the regions that you get for various thresholds. And then find the region for each case where you get the best result by using some features. Let me go back here. I didn't tell you what these features are. It'll come later in the case of the calcifications. Okay. The contrast measure could be modified to include characteristics related to the human visual system. The human visual system is a nonlinear system that has a very large dynamic range and a bandpass filter behavior that has been modeled using Gabor functions. The filtering property is characterized by the reciprocal of the threshold contrast, CT, that is a function of frequency, spatial frequency U, and background luminance L. Now, the smallest luminance difference that a human observer can detect when an object of a certain size appears with a certain background luminance level is defined as the just noticeable difference. And that has been shown to be proportional to this contrast and luminance as JND equal to LCT. But a variation of threshold contrast as a function of the background luminance is plotted in what is known as the Weber-Fechner relationship. And that looks like this, where beyond a certain limit called the Weber region, this curve is flat. The threshold contrast beyond a certain background luminance level, that is the x-axis here, it remains constant. So it does not vary with luminance. This is what I was mentioning earlier, that beyond a certain minimum level of luminance, for a large range of luminance, for most of us, the threshold contrast is constant at about 0.2 or 2%. And that is known as Weber's law, and that is the just noticeable difference. But below that threshold, there is a variation that is known as the Rose-Devry region here. Let me go back. So in the Rose-Devry region, CT decreases when the background luminance increases, with CT proportional to 1 over L to the power of half, or L square root of L. And the Weber region, Ct is independent of the background and is a constant that is about 2%, which is beyond that region. It is possible to determine this JND as a function of background gray level from psychophysical experiments, and Liang did an experiment where he himself, he didn't repeat it with many subjects, but Liang Shen, he set up a test with various combinations of foreground and background levels using a test image that contained a series of square boxes with width ranging from 1 pixel to 16 pixels and fixed spacing of 7 pixels between them, and also a group of vertical lines, 64 pixels, with the width ranging from 1 to 6 pixels and a spacing that is 12 pixels. That's a description of the test object, but that's what it looks like here. So we have these boxes of increasing size and these bars of increasing thickness with a certain frequency. So as you change the background and the foreground intensity with reference to a certain background, when the difference between this object and the background becomes very small, you will not be able to detect it. There is also the question of size. So based upon the visibility or detection of up to the 2 pixel wide square, so you put a limit and say up to that object and the corresponding group of lines on a monitor, we got the relationship between the just noticeable difference and the background gray level, which was plotted like this. Now this is a bit jagged curve, but it looks like the Weber-Fechner curve that we saw. If you were to smooth it, and if we repeat this experiment many, many times with many observers, you would expect a curve that will be a decaying 1 over L to the power, 1 over square root of L curve like that, and then it will be constant, similar to the curve we saw earlier here. So strictly speaking, you have to repeat the experiment a number of times with a number of observers. But in this one simple experiment with this test object, we got this result, which agrees with the expected pattern. So the region growing algorithm, based upon the human visual system characteristic like this, starts with a four connected neighbor pixel grouping based upon the JND relationships. The condition is defined as P1 minus P2, the 2 pixels you are comparing, being the difference being less than or equal to the JND for P1 and JND for P2. So you apply the rule of the just noticeable difference and then check for inclusion of those pixels in the region being grown. So this is followed by removal of small regions by merging with a connected region with the minimum mean gray level difference. Then merging of connected regions is performed if any two neighboring regions meet the corresponding JND condition, with P1 and P2 representing their mean values. And you iterate this until no further merging is possible. So here is an example with the same test pattern, where in the presence of noise, we get the correct regions for the triangle and the crescent-shaped object here for two different signal-to-noise ratio values merged together to form one image. So this method works well in the presence of noise that is also visible in this image. The multi-tolerance region-growing method was extended and applied by Liang Shen to the detection of calcifications in mammograms. So the procedure consists of the following steps. First, you have to select seed pixels. Now, we don't do region growing for all pixels. We don't want to segment the entire mammogram. We just want to extract those pixels that could possibly be members of calcifications. So you put a threshold on the entire image, And we used a fairly low threshold given by the mean or the median of the entire image, the whole mammogram. Now that gives us a very large number of pixels, but still we did not want to rule out regions or calcifications that could be fairly low in density. So at the first stage, we said, let us allow more pixels and regions to come in, and later on we can reject some of them. The main requirement in the selection of pixels is that the density represented by calcification is high, higher than normal breast tissue, so we need pixels that are higher than average in the mammogram. Then detection of potential calcification regions by region growing using the multi-tolerance region growing method I described earlier. And then confirmation or rejection of calcification regions. I'll skip the flowchart, which is what I described just now. So selection of seed pixels. Because calcifications are relatively bright or high density pixels, every pixel with a value greater than the median gray level of the mammogram is first identified as a potential seed pixel. The pixels are then processed in sequence by selecting the highest individual pixel remaining in the list in raster scan order in the image. As long as that pixel has not been included in a region that's already grown. So as pixels are included in regions, they are removed from the list for checking or further region growing. So detection of potential calcification regions is then performed. We do a region growing procedure for each seed pixel that is not already classified or processed. So every four connected neighbor is checked, and the condition applied is this. The pixel being checked for inclusion must be between 0.5 of 1 plus tau, where tau is the region growing tolerance, or 0.5 times 1 minus tau of Rmax plus Rmin, which are the maximum and minimum of the region being grown at that current stage. So the reference value keeps changing. We didn't use the average here. We took the average of the maximum and minimum only, not of average of all of the pixels. That is also a possibility. Depending upon the application, this value could be changed.